Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? It's the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. It is a beautiful Wednesday in Southern California, where we're mopping up our tears over the Dodgers falling down 2-0. But I have some thoughts on this. Like, having experienced the White Sox 86 years, the Red Sox 88 years, and then, of course, the Cubs over 100 years, it's like Chicago fans, Boston fans are like, L.A., really? The Lakers just won. The Dodgers are going to win eventually. I have some thoughts on this upcoming. Chris Spielman's going to join us. C-ball, hit ball. He was a great player. His brother's the GM, obviously, of the Vikings. He is a tremendous analyst. Whoever booked him, good job. He's great. He's great. Daniel Jeremiah will join us. He saw Drew Brees in person. He's seen Justin Herbert. Among the other things I want him to break down, like, feels like Herbert has it, but what are we missing? And it feels like Drew doesn't, but are we missing something? And JP Morosi will join us. John Paul Morosi covering Major League Baseball as we are, at least as of now, on a collision course between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Atlanta Braves for a World Series. Yikes. Okay. Let's get to this. Do you know what the most important thing when you pick a college is? Do you know what the most important thing when you pick a spouse is? Do you know what the most important thing when you pick a place to live is? Do you know what the most important thing when you pick a job is? It has nothing or very little to do with the financial benefits of the job. If you take a job for money, you're not, that should be a reason, but like the fifth or sixth most important reason. If you go to a school because of glamour or because everyone else thought it's the right, that should be way down the list. If you marry a guy or a girl or have a relationship with them because of what other people think or how other people feel, that's a mistake. The most important things in life to me, and what the hell I know, I've been modestly successful for 20 years in this business, and I made some good choices and some terrible choices in life, in business, in agents, or with schools that I picked. The most important thing is knowing who you are and finding the right fit. See, Ryan Tannehill, if you look at the numbers, like, did you guys see these stats which people have put out? And again, this is why stats don't totally tell the story, right? But if you look at Tannehill's stats, this guy, since he's been anointed the starter in Tennessee, has been every bit as successful a quarterback statistically as Lamar Jackson. Right, over the past 17 games, Lamar's 15-2, Tannehill's 13-4. The touchdown to interception ratio is 36-7 for Tannehill, 36-8 for Lamar. Tannehill's actually passing for more yards per game. Obviously, Lamar Jackson's running for more yards per game. But Tannehill's passing numbers are far better than Lamar Jackson, who wants some damn respect to steal from LeBron James. Now, is this a we should show him respect? Maybe. I still think Tannehill has some of the same flaws when he tries to push the ball downfield in third and California situations. Similar but different to Lamar Jackson. By the way, it should be pointed out that Ryan Tannehill did play another position in college. I'm sure you heard that a bunch last night. He was a wide receiver before becoming a quarterback. So, he is athletic. He has suffered through an injury. He has gone through coaching changes. But the bigger thing is this. He has found a home in Tennessee. Is it helped by the fact that Derrick Henry is pushing NFL caliber defenders out of the way like their children? Absolutely. The most important things you're going to find in your life, in your career, in your pick of college is fit. Do you know who you are and can you find a fit for it? Because I actually think there's a chance Adam Gase is a pretty good offensive mind, that he really was good with Peyton Manning. But Peyton Manning and Sam Darnold are two completely different players at the time in which he coached Peyton Manning in Denver and the time in which he's coached Sam Darnold in New York. Last night should give any Sam Darnold fan hope. Hey, man, we just find a team that is reasonably well coached, that has reasonable personnel, that has a reasonable running game and people to throw to, and Sam Darnold can be as good as... And there's no better... There's no easier parallel than Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was not a good quarterback last year. But that's because he was put in a situation where Freddie Kitchens was like, well, Baker played in the spread in college. Let's spread it out and let him throw it in the pros. That's not how he's going to win in the pros. His athletic talents have limitations. He's got to play off of play action. The reason that relationships make it, the reason that teams make it, the reason that players find the perfect amount of success. I'll just give you my own perfect personal example. I was a very good college basketball player. I was a great passer and a very good leader and a good enough defender for my size. It's hard to be small and make it, but I was tough enough and strong enough to where I could survive defensively. With the exception of against the super uber elite 6'6 dudes, there's nothing. And, you know, posts I could do nothing with. I didn't make the NBA for two reasons. One, couldn't shoot, and that reputation preceded me. And two, I couldn't get in front of a team that understood my weakness and how to play to my strength. The team that I had the best connection with was the LA Lakers. My dad was Tex Winter's assistant in Long Beach State, and Tex Winter wanted to take care of me, and the Lakers, like a local kid, gave me a shot. I was no hassle at vet mini camps and free agent mini camps. I'd come in. I knew the system. I'd play hard. I'd pass the ball. I'd try and make everybody else look better. But what I wasn't was a good fit for the triangle. Triangle is B.J. Armstrong, John Paxson, Steve Kerr. These guys are all elite catch-and-shoot jump shooters who... I'm 15 times the creative passer. All three of those guys are combined. Doesn't matter. Not needed in that system. Eric Snow, for example, played over a decade in the NBA. Could not shoot at all. Played in the NBA Finals with Philadelphia because he had Iverson taking all the shots. And all he had to do was defend, run, pass the ball, and occasionally try and make an open shot. Avery Johnson, right? Couldn't shoot. Led the nation in assists in college, got cut three times, but the Spurs bought into who he was, and he developed to where he could just make a couple of shots and keep you honest. Some of it wasn't good enough. I tell my son all the time, like, look, it's 450 dudes on earth. I wasn't good enough. But the truth is, had I found the right fit, there would have been a greater chance that I made it. You know, when I went to Notre Dame, I wanted to play for Notre Dame. It was an incredibly prestigious academic school. John McLeod was the head coach, the former NBA head coach. And I thought, man, that's the way I'm going to get to the league. But you know what? Oklahoma State was a public school, 25,000 people, basketball school, small arena, a coach that my dad had worked for before. They had athletes that could run. They just needed a point guard. It all just fit better. Yeah, like if you want to go follow me on Twitter, you can find out that I did some bad things when I was at Notre Dame that caused me to have to leave. But I fit with, and part of it was they adjusted their style at Oklahoma State to fit me. I tell this story all the time. John McLeod is a very good NBA head coach. He ran one side pick and roll. It was called three side. And as a right-handed player, however limited you think I was as a shooter, my freshman year, I didn't have a fear of missing. I'd let it fly whenever. I couldn't shoot off the pick and roll going to my right. I was much more confident going to my left. most righties shoot better going left. Jordan, Kobe, a couple of the exceptions. Most right-handed guys shoot better going left than they do right. Well, we ran this one side pick and roll play, and he would always run it. It was only put in to run on the left side of the court, coming back to my right hand, which I could pass off my right hand, I could drive off my right hand, but I was not confident in a college game shooting the ball, which I should have been because I worked on it, but it's just a confidence thing. It took him until game 25 to change it and put it on the right side of the court to come to my left hand. In other words, he didn't understand it wasn't a fit. So when I see Tannehill play, I think that's a fit. When I see Lamar Jackson, if they put Lamar Jackson in Kyle Shanahan's offense, he's going to be a failure. If you put him in some sort of spread or what Kyler Murray's doing, right, which is the air raid system, he's going to be a failure because you have to be accurate and throw into open grass. That's not who he is. You build Greg Roman's system completely around Lamar Jackson and everything he does as a runner, as a pitch man, running options, occasional deep shots, throws only over the middle because he's not good at throwing outside the numbers. You create an MVP. Well, we talk about things all the time that have nothing to do with whether or not a guy's successful in professional and collegiate sports. You know what it is? Does he know who he is, and does he have the right fit and the right opportunity? And then that, if you're doing things that you're familiar with, that you're comfortable in, then you have confidence. And confidence is a huge factor in how good you are. RG3 was running a hybrid of Baylor's offense during his rookie year. And they did not think it was sustainable, so they tried to integrate him into Kyle Shanahan's system, into the Shanahan system, and be a traditional quarterback. And it was an abject disaster. He can't play that way. It was a bad fit. It was a bad fit. You got to know who you are, and you got to find the right fit for who you are. And when you get that opportunity, doing something you know how to do, your confidence should overflow. There's some drama with the NFL's best wide receiver, and I got to tell you, I love the way his team is handling it. I'll explain next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Michael Thomas was suspended officially for conduct detrimental to the team. Unofficially, the Saints sat him because of insubordination. This is according to multiple sources. The suspension had less to do with Thomas's role in a fight with a teammate during practice on Saturday. Thomas said they talked back to the coaches, including Peyton, and ostensibly refused counsel afterwards. Yo, Mike, chill out. Yo, I don't, right? Like I can feel like I was there at the fight. Mike, can I talk to you for a second? Nah, man, I don't need this. I'm out. Right? The Saints were left with no other recourse other than to ice their best wide receiver. This, again, according to the 24 hours close to kickoff. Good for the Saints. Look, you already gave him the biggest contract in the history of the position. You know, hit him with fines. It may not totally hurt, but it doesn't feel good. And then let this story out. Like, we are not going to allow you to be insubordinate. This is where the Antonio Brown, we didn't hear about the Antonio Brown shenanigans really until midway through his last season with the Steelers. And then obviously game 17, he doesn't show up to practice. And then his agent's like, yeah, he's going to come play. Like, no, that's not how we do it. You got to nip this thing in the bud. Twitter has you convinced that this is a players' league and coaches are just kind of draw something in the dirt to get the player the football, and the players win and players lose games. The greatest part about this Saints thing is, and they were lucky to win, but they won without him. You can't win without me. We just did. No, Drew Brees doesn't look like nearly the same quarterback. Their offense isn't nearly as efficient. And here we are, you know, a second straight week, and now there's drama. It gets out. It's on social media. And he put out none of those fires with his Twitter account. Hey, but like, look, you can't, The late Bob McNair got roasted for saying the inmates can't run the prison, right? Which is the actual right way of saying the inmates can't run the asylum, which is the... But it's however you want to use the expression, we all know it to be true. Sorry, it can't be too many chiefs and not enough Indians. However, whatever you want to, right? How many cooks in the, how many chefs in the kitchen? You're a cook, there's one chef. This is what I talked about with Kyrie Irving. It's a collaboration. Like, yeah, we take your advice. We're going to, I'm the head coach here. It's not any different than the radio show. Ryan Music is a huge part of what we decide with the content. Hey, I think you should do this. I think you should do that. But at the end of the day, John, what is the show called?
The Doug Gottlieb Show.
You damn right it is, right? That at some point you got to step up, be a little bit of an alpha. And right here for Sean Payton's like, look, I'm left with no recourse. I got to sit you down. Yeah, it's a made-for-TV game. Yes, Drew Brees is going to look worse because of it. We could lose a game, but we could lose this game and win the war and have you on board, or we could win this game and lose the war. People got it twisted when Malcolm Butler only played one snap in the Super Bowl. We can roll back the tape for you. And what I said at the time was, it might have cost Bill Belichick that Super Bowl game, but it's the reason that he had played in so many and the reason they will most likely be back. And all of the people on Fox that I work with, because I did every single show for several days, and they all said, like, that he's lost the locker room, he's lost his mind, Brady likes him, everybody likes Malcolm Butler, this is the wrong thing to do. The very next year they came back and won the Super Bowl. Their defense was never an issue. And why was that? Malcolm Butler had not had a good season, had not been good in the playoffs, then had some mysterious illness where he didn't go to team doctors. Instead, he went to like an emergency room, no showed at practice, didn't show up for the team playing, shows up in Minnesota, is like, yeah, I'm ready to play. They're like, yeah, no. We're going to sit you down. We may lose the battle, we'll win the war. And the war isn't the Super Bowl. The war is the ability to have the respect of the locker room. It's the thing that all of you sycophants towards Allen Iverson will never get. We're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice. Not talking about a game. We're talking about practice, man. Talking about, yes, we're talking about practice. So I don't like, I love this. I don't know how long it's been this bad. And giving guy a money who may not be able to get along with others may not bode well for the Saints. But in the, you didn't have, like, as much as they might have felt like they'd have to, there are organizations where he would have played on a Sunday. Not New Orleans. And maybe the best thing was they won without him. It wasn't pretty, and they probably shouldn't have. They did win without him.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
He was a three-time Pro Bowler when he played, and he is, excuse me, a three-time All-Pro when he played, and he is an ex. Whenever I see hear Chris Spielman's voice calling games for the NFL on Fox, I just sit down, grab a notepad, and say, if I just repeated what he said, I would sound like I knew something about football. Chris Spielman joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Chris, let me start with last night. I feel like the Tannehill tale is the tale that many of us have experienced in our own lives professionally and personally. Everything's about fit, right? Here's a guy that struggled with consistency in Miami. Of course, there was different coaches. He got injured, but he finally found a fit for how he has to be successful at quarterback. Is that fair for fit is almost everything, not just how much talent you have?
Well, I actually helps. Absolutely. I mean, like if you would say Joe Flacco, for example, I just heard in the update, say, okay, go run the Cardinals offense. It's not going to work. But you're right, Doug, in the fit with the head coach and mentality. And, you know, the interesting thing about Tannehill, not many people know this, but he was a wide receiver at Texas A&M. And it kind of legitimizes why a team took him number one overall. I thought he was always a good player. But you're right. I mean, he didn't thrive under Adam Gase in Miami like he's thriving under Mike Vrabel. And it certainly helps any quarterback if you have a beast like Derrick Henry running the football, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he just ragdolled Josh Norman.
Yeah, that happens. I mean, that can happen to anybody, but it goes to show you, and it's kind of been my observation this year, you know, the NFL is kind of reverting back to to running the football. I mean, I think teams are really putting an emphasis and a focus on it, and the teams that are winning are consistently running the football, and the best example I can say of that would be the Cleveland Browns,
sure,
who lead the league in rushing. And, you know, that's kind of the emphasis has been on quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. I get that, but when you get back to ground and pound, man, it's the simplest, easiest way to win if you can do it physically. And the Browns, I think, have one of the top three offensive lines in the league.
Right. I mean, and of course, they took Kevin Stefanski to work for your brother, and that's what they did in Minnesota to stabilize things last year. And that's what he's done with Cleveland, is stabilize things this year. Like, let's get back to running the football, playing off that, playing play action, keeping the linebackers close, which opens up, you know, all that tight end stuff and stuff over the middle of the field. It becomes much easier. Chris Spielman joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Okay, so let me get to Buffalo. Josh Allen's way better. Wait, no, he's not. He's an MVP. Wait, no, he's still limited. Where are you on the young Bills quarterback?
I love him. I mean, I wasn't a believer in him when he was coming out. I mean, I thought, you know, he could eventually be a starter, but I think the vast improvement that he has shown from the time he was drafted to now, and, you know, there's going to be up games and down games, but, you know, his arm is tremendous and his ability to run the football. He's a fierce competitor. And, you know, one of the traits that people don't talk about a lot about quarterbacks that I think should be mentioned more is there certain guys that just have a presence about them, Doug? And when they walk in the huddle, and you know those 10 other guys, when they see you in that huddle, they believe in you. And they believe that you can do a lot of good things because you've done it in the past. And there's a lot of quarterbacks that carry that presence with them. But I got to tell you, there's some quarterbacks in this league that are starters that don't carry that presence, where they just don't have that either conscious or subconscious belief by the guys in their huddle. And I'll tell you, a team that I think struggles with that right now is San Francisco with Jimmy G. I don't know if the 49ers believe in Jimmy G as their starting guy.
Yeah, actually, that was on my list of things I wanted to get to. I can't tell if it's – Shanahan did not appear happy at that press conference. You know, some are like, well, it's because he played him too early. I think because he's frustrated that Garoppolo's not getting better, he's actually getting worse.
Yeah, I think you can make an argument for digression. I think with Jimmy you know, I had their first game, their loss to the Cardinals, and he missed two open throws that could have won the football game. And, you know, that's the NFL. And so I think it does get frustrating for a guy like Kyle and a team like the 49ers, who seem to have all the pieces in place to get back to where they want to go. And I think one thing, if you looked at, Jimmy got off to such a hot start, excuse me, and provided such a hope, but it seems like ever since he got off that hard start, I'd start in San Francisco, he just kind of has not gone to the next level. I mean, he got him to the Super Bowl, obviously, last year, but a lot of things got him to the Super Bowl. But he just hasn't taken it up and improved like I think Kyle would want him to improve.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so help me out with Tom Brady. I hear we have kind of five games in the bag. What's your assessment of what the ceiling is, right? Like, can he be Tom Brady in that style with that offensive line, with that coaching staff at this age? Or do we have to kind of temper enthusiasm after watching him against the Bears?
I don't temper anything with him because what he's done is defy all odds. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does it again. I think, you know, again, it goes back to the running game, right? They're really strong and been focused on that as well. And after the Bears the week before, didn't he throw five touchdown passes, if I'm not mistaken? So I think Tom is Tom Brady, and I don't put limits on the guy. I did one time put limits on Tom Brady, and I got burned. Obviously, Father Time's undefeated. It'll eventually catch him, but I think he's still a guy to be reckoned with, absolutely.
Yeah, I tend to agree. What's your reaction to Aaron Rodgers' hot start?
Not surprised. I made this statement, Doug, a couple times, and people kind of, you know, like if I could choose a quarterback out of all the quarterbacks that ever played the game, if I could pick one to start for my team, or if I were starting, it would be him. That's just my style, right? That's the guy that I like. I like the guy that can run. I like the guy that can make every throw. I like the guy that can make every throw if he's on one foot and does a pirouette in the backfield and still is on target, right? He doesn't have to have everything aligned and merit. So he's just my style quarterback, and he's a great competitor. Obviously, you know, they drafted a kid number one, and, you know, he probably took it personal, so he could have went and pouted or not getting his way. Instead, he responds by saying, there's a lot left in this tank, and this is why I'm one of the best to ever play.
Chris Spielman joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What should the Cowboys do with Dak Prescott?
I'm a Dak Prescott fan, so I think, you know, you eventually got to make that decision. And look, I don't think the Cowboys are even in a lot of games without Dak Prescott. Now, I get that Andy Dalton came in and did a good job for him the other day, but I think when you look at Dak Prescott, in my eyes, he's certainly a franchise player.
Okay, but would you come back with the exact same contract offer you had previously? Like, how would you handle? Like, he's out for the year. He's obviously, you know, on the franchise tag. He's getting 30-some-odd million. You're going to have to, if you want him to be in your OTAs, you're going to have him under contract another year.
Yeah,
do you start back off same spot, goodwill? You know, what do you do?
Well, I'm not familiar with their cap situation, so it's hard for me to answer that. I think I would do everything, and I don't mean to be too general about
sure,
this, but I just
it.
Don't know that, like, if they got to cut players, who they cutting, what's that going to cost them, how are they going to maneuver their cap. But I would say that if you're I would do everything I could to keep him. I don't. I like him. He's a player that is a really good football player, and there's no problem with the Cowboys' offense. The problem lies on the other side of the ball, which I believe they're second to last or last in the league in total defense, right, next to the Seahawks.
Okay, so help me out on this one, Chris. Who do you have this week, Chris?
I have the Colts and the Bengals, so I'm excited to see Joe Burrow in a rare AFC matchup for our Fox crew. So I'm kind of excited to see a little different team. It's really interesting too, just with that, Doug, because like Phillip Rivers, you know, they're off to 3-1 start. Phillip played awful last week, the worst I've seen him play in a long time. And they're 3-2, and they want to bench him, you know. And if they go to 4-2, we'll see what happens. It's just amazing how quick one goes from the penthouse to the outhouse in the NFL, week in and week out. This guy can't play. Oh, this guy's great. I'm glad we got him. So I'm kind of anxious to see how the Colts respond.
I am too, because the week before they went in, and I talked to the guys from Chicago. They're like, they just came in and kicked our ass, right? They're like, it was like their defense was, like, they just had greater energy. They were just ready to play. Our guys didn't match their level of intensity. I think it's because people respect what they've been able to do personnel-wise, especially with that defense, that Phillip is a little bit of their weak link. You watch the tape. Granted, he didn't play well. Do you think he still has it?
Oh, yeah, I think he's absolutely good enough to win with. I think he's getting to that point in his career, and the great Will McDonough, a member of the sports writer for Boston, Sean.
Sure.
Sean's my former partner's father, had a great line one time. And you look at Phillip Rivers, and you almost say he's so good he can keep both teams in it. You know, he can keep both teams in the game. And I think that was the type of game that Phillip had last week. I mean, when he gets in trouble is when he gets bothered a little bit and he kind of forces the ball. And if he's late, I mean, the pick six that he had last week, he was so late that wasn't even a rookie mistake. That was a mistake that can never happen to a potential Hall of Fame quarterback with the numbers that Phillip Rivers has. That he should never make that mistake. And well, we'll see how he responds. I'm sure he'll respond and play well this week.
Okay, you've seen Burrow on tape. What are your impressions?
I think he's going to be really, really good. I think their offensive line is struggling mightily. And, you know, the key to an offensive line is five guys. It's a team within the team, right? Five guys got to be playing well together for them to be successful. Because if four guys do their job, one guy doesn't do their job, then you look at it, well, that offensive line stinks. Well, Joe can also help out the offensive line, because last week there were 7 sacks on Joe Burrow. I would say probably 4 were on Joe for holding the ball. You might have had a couple on the receivers for not sight adjusting. Sight adjusting, I mean, there's a blitz coming. You have to alter your route, and the quarterback has to see what the wide receiver is seeing, what the defense is doing, and deliver the football. I think he drops his eyes a little bit right now. And, you know, he's been sacked 22 times. Last week he was hit 15 times. And seven of those sacks last week were by five out of the seven were by defensive backs. So he's just got to do a better job of recognizing where it's coming from. Receivers got to do a better job of recognizing, and he has to get rid of the football.
Chris, great
stuff. But he's going to be great. He's going to be great. I think he's tremendous. I think it's a growing process, Doug, like you know, with all these rookie quarterbacks. But that's a guy I would never bet against after what he did at LSU last year.
No, and what he's and as how he's been able to look so far this year, I tend to tend to agree with you. Is that Indy or Cincy?
At Indy, but the good thing is it's a drive game for me, and I get home Sunday night, so that's a win.
I know, right? So you got to do proverbial, like, the St. Elmo's, is it open? Or do you do St. Elmo's takeout? I don't even know what you do. And then you got to do Shapiro's Deli morning up. Shapiro's Deli.
All right, I'll check it out, man. Right, I'll see. I'll do the deli. That sounds good.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'll check it out, brother. Thank you for having me on, man.
I need at least one C-ball hit ball. That's all I ask for.
Not that hard, man.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Real quick. That's what dads always ask me. How do I tell my son to play linebacker? I don't know. Tell him, see that ball and go get the ball. Yes. Not that hard.
C-ball hit ball. There you go. C-ball hit ball.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Chris.
Talk to you.
Chris Spielman, all-time great dude, tremendous player, obviously an incredible football family. One team in the AFC South could be on the verge of history. I'll tell you about it next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Game time!
This is Game Time.
It's Game Time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Dan Byer, what do you got?
Doug, the game today is...
Real news, fake news.
All right, Doug, real news or fake news that the Jacksonville Jaguars will become the first team in NFL history to have five different place kickers for five consecutive weeks.
That's real news.
They're real, and they're spectacular.
John Brown getting the nod for the fifth straight week of a different kicker in week six. It was Josh Lambeau to start this season. Then Lambeau got hurt. Brandon Wright came in. Then Aldrick Rosas took over the duties, and he got hurt. Steven Hauschka kicked last week, and now it'll be John Brown for the Jaguars against the Lions in a game that I like to call will never be a Super Bowl matchup. You'll never see the Lions or Jaguars in a Super Bowl.
Game that I would like to call the toilet bowl.
Real news or fake news, Doug? The NFL had to move the Super Bowl for New Orleans from 2024 to 2025 because of a Carpenters convention taking place the same week.
That feels like real news.
You are fake news.
They had to move it because of Mardi Gras. Now, when the NFL goes to the 17-game schedule, it's going to push the Super Bowl a week back. And when they originally awarded the game to New Orleans, it was the week prior to Mardi Gras. But now, because of that, it would land during Mardi Gras in 2024. So now New Orleans gets Super Bowl 59 in 2025. Real news or fake news, Doug? Potential number one pick in the NBA draft, LaMelo Ball won't be wearing Big Baller brand and instead has signed an endorsement deal with Reebok.
Was it Reebok? I can't remember if it was Reebok. I'll go with real news.
You are fake news.
Puma. Yes. Is he the first for the NBA? I can't remember if there's other Puma. Yeah.
No, there is. What's the cat who went number one over? There's a couple of the younger dudes. DeAndre Ayton is Puma.
Okay.
I think Trae Young is Puma as well. They came on 2 years ago. They started throwing money at dudes. The shoes look kind of cool. I've heard mixed reviews on the actual quality of the shoe, but yeah, they've that's how they try to get into the market.
Real news or fake news? Sam Cassell interviewed with his former team, the Houston Rockets, for their head coaching vacancy.
That's fake news. It was the Lakers. It was the Clippers. I mean,
they're real and they're spectacular.
No, they're not.
You are fake news.
There it is. You were right, Doug. You are right on that one. He did interview with the Clippers.
Did he walk out and do the big balls thing that he's famous for doing? How'd you do, Sam? Yeah, I guess he told him like it was.
Real news or fake news? The Brooklyn Nets will wear a classic tie-dye jersey next season, dating back to their days in New Jersey in the 1990-91 season.
The Dwayne Schinsis, what's his name? Petrovic jerseys? That's a yes. That's a real news.
They're real and they're spectacular.
Yes, even Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving seen modeling the red blue and white jerseys, kind of that gradient to it, but with that tie-dye
cool.
look.
Yeah, those are cool.
Yeah. Real news or fake news? Finally, Doug, the NCAA tournament will be hosting games in Las Vegas for the first time, as T-Mobile Arena will serve as a host for the West Regional semifinals and finals in 2023.
I didn't see that, so I'm going to go with fake news.
They're real and they're spectacular.
Yes, San Francisco is going to be put on the schedule. The updated Key Arena in Seattle also going to be hosting some NCAA tournament games in the future. That's game time.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Dude, I got Spokane twice, and I got Spokane twice, Salt Lake City, and Dayton, then to Columbus. And somebody's going to get Vegas, right? I can just see, like, there's a couple of dirty little secrets. They have not... Vegas is great. It's great for Vegas. That's finally happened. That's awesome. When will NFL teams stop making the same mistake over and over? Find out next.